It's time for an inside look at the most powerful motorsport on the planet. WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
It's the most exciting sport on earth as far as I'm concerned.
Take a walk through the Nitro pits as we go one-on-one with the stars of drag racing.
Hey, you're with Matt Hagen.
This is Ron Capps, Matt Hagen's personal friend. You're on WFO.
Featuring the NHRA's Alan Reinhardt.
Our events are truly an experience. They're not just a spectator event. They are an experience.
So get in, sit down, and hold on with host Joe Costello as he goes WFO.
Thanks, brother. Always love being on WFO, baby. Nobody brings it to you better than you, brother.
Now crank it up. It's time to go WFO. Here's your host, Joe Costello.
What's up, NHRA fans? Welcome back to WFO Radio NHRA Nitro, following the Mopar Express Lane NHRA Nationals out there in Maple Grove, Pennsylvania, presented by Pennzoil. I'm Joe Costello, and I am your podcast host. This week on the show, we're going to be hearing from the winners, Richie Crampton, Jack Beckman, Jason Lyne, Jerry Savoie, who has gone back-to-back for the first time in his career, will all be in our podcast feed. We ask you to subscribe. As you know, we are posting the interviews independently of one another so that the drivers and teams and sponsors can share, and all you fans can skip the ones you don't like. Just kidding. You're not skipping nothing. You're loving it all and learning about all these people and their personalities, and you'll come to love them all like the way I do. And what a race it was. It was tremendous. Maple Grove never lets you down. Yes, of course, there'll be some weather. There'll be some moisture. There'll be some traffic. But in the end, it was a great race, a spectacle race, so many storylines, plot lines, all that. The voice of the NHRA, Alan Reinhardt, will join us just moments from now to talk all about it. We'll do a full debrief session with Alan Reinhardt and post that one first, and then on to the drivers that you will hear throughout the week. It will be great stuff. You just got to subscribe and be sure to get push notifications if you have the WFO Radio app, or follow us on Twitter or Facebook, and you will see when all the new interviews are up and ready to go. It was a great event. I was out there. I met so many WFO Radio listeners. They were all wearing their WFO t-shirts, available at the Nitrofish trailer on Saturday, WFO Radio T-shirt Day. It was great stuff. Bo Butner says the Saturday shirt is still undefeated, which is amazing. When he is out there racing on Saturdays, he has yet to lose while wearing his WFO Radio T-shirt. And it's only possible because of a couple of great sponsors, and please allow me to tell you who they are. Total Seal Piston Rings, the leader in ring seal technology, new to WFO, and we really appreciate having them on. We're going to do some cool, interesting new content with Total Seal, the tech side about Total Seal Piston Rings. But in the end, if you've got a road car and they're rebuilding an engine, something like that, Total Seal makes rings for you, and they learn how to make the best in the business using racing like IndyCar, NASCAR, even the highest level technology racing in the world. Total Seal Piston Rings are involved. They do tools. If you have a shop, if you build engines, you should definitely have Total Seal. MagicDryUS.com, the official organic absorbent of the NHRA, sponsor of Scott Palmer. It's lightweight. It's made of coconut. It travels easier. It's easier to carry. It works better. What more do you want? MagicDryUS.com. Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School, the Dragster Adventure. You know the holidays are coming. I'm harping on the holidays. It's not quite Black Friday yet, and I know you're not panicking for a gift, but if you really want to hit the ball out of the park, listen to me, and our WFO Radio sponsors will get you there, like Frank Hawley's Dragster Adventure. Courses start at $399, and you're like, man, that'd be a really good friend. And yeah, that's what we're talking about, for a really good friend or family member who you want to really show them you love them. You're going to send them on the Dragster Adventure, and they get to drive a dragster. They're going to love it forever. Go to frankhawley.com or rodaxcoffeeandgrills.com. Hot sauces and spice rubs, everything good. Marvin Rodak does such a great job with the holiday packs, pound of coffee, container of hot sauce, container of spice rub, all together, packed up, rodaxcoffeeandgrills.com. Give Marvin a call and tell him you heard about it on WFO Radio. Really a game changer for your coffee game. Plus, they got coffees like Funny Car Chaos and WFO Radio Blend and the Capco Blend. They got Schumacher Blend. They got all these different blends that are all drag racing themed. Bang the blower. Go to rodaxcoffeeandgrills.com or give them a call, 817-924-6821. Samtech.edu, the School of Automotive Machinists and Technology. You don't know what you're going to do in your life You love playing with cars. You want to make it your career. Machinist, such a great career. You can learn at samtech.edu. Block, head CNC programs, motorsport EFI programs, an Associate of Applied Science degree. They're military-friendly with the GI Bill. Go to samtech.edu today. Tell them you heard about it on WFO. And don't forget to subscribe to Factory Stock Podcast. HusseyPerformance.net, quality copper head gaskets. Hangstifers, metalworking lubricants for that machine shop we just spoke of. Hangstifers.com, Hangstifers metalworking lubricants. Your tools will last longer, your cuts will be better, and your shop will be more efficient with Hangstifers. Drag Racing Edge magazine and EV3 Drag Racing, for it's a game for your mobile device. Cross-promotional sponsors as well, and we love all of our sponsors. And thank you so much for letting me tell you who they were. It's better than jumping ahead, right? You guys just listen. I'll throw some tidbits in there in the middle. Like, I will tell you about Maple Grove throughout the week and throughout all these interviews. Thought it was a great event, had a great time. Love that part of the country. It's very unique, the Amish aspect of it. But in the end, a race of upsets and shocking outcomes. Capco out first round. Andrew Hines loses the points lead. All of these things will be discussed. But we got to get it started off right. Joining us now, he is the voice of the NHRA and called the action at race one of the NHRA countdown. The playoffs, baby. Mopar Express Lane NHRA Nationals presented by Pennzoil. Alan Reinhardt back on WFO. AR, welcome back.
Hey, Joe. Good to be here. I'm battling depression today, so you'll have to bear with me a little bit.
Oh, really? What kind of depression? What's the subject?
My lifelong travel companion, my suitcase, finally died for real, and I'm dealing with that right now.
Last couple of weeks ago, you told us that it was critical, but you were going to try to make a move to save it, and I guess that has not worked?
No. I was able to repair the handle once, and then it broke again, and it's the seams are coming apart, and at least the wheel bearings I put in a few years ago are still holding up, but it's done, so I'm actively seeking its replacement.
How many miles?
How many miles are on that thing?
Yeah,
I don't know. Got to be, if not a million, it's not short by many. But it's been a lot of different places in the world, and I kept thinking, surely another Budweiser shootout bag is going to turn up someplace. I know three or four guys in Indy have got those things in a storeroom someplace because they got them for a gift, as I did. And they just threw them in storage and went, oh, yeah, someday maybe I'll need it. And boy, if one of those guys had called me, I'd make them a serious cash offer for that so I could replace it with a like item. But at this point, it looks like I'm online fighting through tears trying to find a replacement since this particular bag is no longer being made.
So let's delve deeper. I know everybody wants to know about the NHRA countdown. We'll certainly get into the discussion of all the highs and lows of the weekend, but this is a great opportunity to get psychological with Alan Reinhardt. All right, you loved the bag. I'm wondering, because I know how I feel about things like this, okay? You loved this bag. It was your travel companion. You are depressed that it is over and it is broken and its life is over. It's dead. What are you going to do with the bag? Are you going to just throw it in the garbage, Alan? Are you going to have a ceremony? Are you going to bury it? Are you going to burn it? What do you do with the damaged bag? Do you have what it takes to just throw it in the trash?
Oh, yeah, it's going straight in the dumpster. Straight to the dumpster. That's it.
You over. Sure?
I'm sure.
You gonna take a photo of it before you throw it away?
Because I'm gonna have to put it on Twitter. Just announcing its departure from the overhead bins of the world. So, but yeah, it's going straight to the dumpster.
Okay, I figured maybe you'd bury it, or you have a nice little funeral for it on your property. Dig a little hole, put it in there. Years from now, they'll be excavating your land, and they'll find it, and the aliens will think, what was this?
Yeah, that would just that would require time and effort that I don't have this time of year when I'm, coming home, switching suitcases, and heading right back out. And this time, literally switching suitcases before I head out.
Literally switching suitcases. Well, there you go. All right. Well, rest in peace, Bud Shootout Bag. You've done a great job for my friend Alan. He's a wonderful person. He's traveled many miles, and you were there with him along the way. Godspeed to the travel bag heaven in the next life. There you go.
Okay.
We even said a little prayer for it.
I feel so much better now, Joe. Thank you for your understanding.
Well, I wanted you to break out of the depression so that we can talk a little drag racing, and now you're back. Look at that; it worked.
Yeah. I feel so much better. I just can't tell you how much. So, yeah, I think you worked your magic, and I feel much better now.
Good. That's what I do, Alan. I have that ability. All right, let's talk about Maple Grove. It was a true Maple Grove race, and that Ma Nature factored in for a little while. But Sunday race day, spectacular. We saw some track records in Funny Car, world record ET in Top Fuel. Then the race on Sunday, spectacular. All Coletta final round. Doug runners up to Richie. We're going to hear from Richie this week, of course, but just many different storylines, one of which, no Capco car out of the first round, and I can't remember the last time that happened.
I don't think anybody could remember last time. We were talking about it up in the TV booth, and nobody had the time to go back and dig far enough to find out. But I don't think that, you know, I don't think it's time to completely write them off. But I also don't think that the car that Steve is in right now is the same car that he was in the middle of the summer. I mean, he was it looks like they're missing a little something in the consistency department, whether it's clutch discs, whether it's, you know, the usual suspects, I don't know. But I'm certainly not saying count them out, throw them away, they'll never win another race. But they really don't look like the dominant car that they were earlier in the year. So it'll be a matter of whether or not they can find that. But there are a couple of cars out there that do look pretty dominant, at least to me.
Absolutely. Let's stay on the Capco point, though, and it's just something that I've been thinking about a lot, and I know you follow other sports as well. You know, if we were going to analogize the countdown to a single game, they've fallen behind, right? Now they're down on the scoreboard, and they've got to make up the ground. And it's going to be interesting. Like, that's something I'm interested to watch for. And I would imagine there are other people out there that are fired up to see. I heard that the grandstand cheered when Steve lost. And, you know, when you win all the time, you're going to make some enemies, or certainly other people are going to root for you to lose. We see that with the Yankees. We've seen it with the Cowboys. We see it with Michael Jordan's Bulls. You know, it's just the way it is when you dominate. But now we've got something interesting. This year is not going to be like last year.
Well, it's definitely, you know, not going to be like last year unless Richie reels off the next five. But I, you know, I'd be really curious to know, and I don't know how you would ever find this out, but I'd be really curious to know if fans were rooting because Steve lost or because Clay Milliken won. You know, I don't believe there's a driver in our field that has more followers on social media more than Clay Milliken. And there's always a loud cheer that goes up anytime he wins a round against anybody. So I don't know. I'm not jumping on the, wow, they were cheering against Steve bandwagon. I think that there are a lot of fans that are just happy to see Clay get by that round, as they would be anytime and are every time he wins a round. So, you know, the Capco boys certainly are going to be back. You know, Steve coming into the countdown as the number one seed, it's not like he's miles behind. You know, he's a few rounds behind. So, you know, I think what they do next week and the next 2 weeks, I think, is the telling factor, because, you know, we've said for years, even though Steve didn't need one last year, you know, you can have a mulligan with a six-race playoff, but you can't have a whole lot of mulligans. So if that's the one mulligan, if Steve comes back in the next race and goes to the semifinals or better, then I think he's right back into it. If he comes back in the next race, goes out first round, second round. But I just really think one of the telling things is, you know, they didn't qualify very well. And there were magical conditions out there. We had four qualifying sessions with very similar conditions. You know, it wasn't like Friday night was hero time and then two of them, that, you know, the track was 140 and everybody was trying to survive. We had four qualifying sessions with very like conditions, and they didn't run particularly well in those four qualifying sessions. And I think that's maybe even more concerning than the fact they lost first round.
Very interesting, and the entertainment value is high to watch them and this Capco team, who's been so dominant now over three seasons, have to deal with it. And like you said, it's only one race. They could win five. we don't know. But it'll be fun to watch them do it. Brittany Force, the record. Wow. I did not expect to see that. And when I knew it was going to be good conditions. And Clay Milliken had actually tipped us off on the Mellow Yellow Walking Tour that he felt like his record could go down this weekend. And when he said it, I really kind of thought he was just saying something extreme to this group of fans, right? Like, to get them interested. And then it happened. We had good conditions, but I didn't know that they were going to be that good. Like, that record was a Pomona special, right? Beginning of the year, cool weather. and now it's owned by Brittany.
Yeah, but, you know, they also had run 362. When I say they, I'm talking about Clay and David Grubnick.
Right.
They also had run a 362 wherever it was a couple of years ago, St. Louis, someplace.
St. Louis.
And I think that I certainly didn't call it, and I certainly didn't see it coming. But I think that Clay was looking at, you know, the conditions, the racetrack, the stuff, and going, okay, this is pretty familiar. You know, this is kind of where we were when it happened before. And the good news for Brittany is that she already was the number one qualifier. She already wasn't worried about the race day consistency. So there's no reason not to take a swing at it. You know, if you come up in that fourth and final session and you're qualified ninth or 10th or 11th, then I don't believe you take that swing. I think you go up there and go, look, let's get ourselves in the top half of the field. Let's find something we can work with. But her car was very consistent, very fast all weekend long. And why not? And, you know, I think the real impressive numbers on the run, the eighth mile, 2.90 seconds, 299 miles an hour. And that's pretty darn close to the numbers that Clay was on when he set the record out at Pomona. If memory serves, he was 2.89, and that's the only 289 I've ever seen to the eighth mile. But they were, you know, I'm sure if you took those two graphs and laid them over each other, they'd be just about carbon copies.
It's amazing to me that, you know, you're a tenth quicker than the winning ET on Sunday. Like, just those runs, those numbers are just insanity, 6-2. But in the end, though, Coletta Motorsports, talk about peaking at the right time. Doug Coletta, coming in off his victory at the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals, goes to the final round, gets there, taking down Smack Smith, Mike Salinas, and Austin Prock. Has to go up against Richie Crampton, who had won the Gator Nationals and has got a nose for winning big races in big situations. Takes down Doug in the final round, and just like that, Doug is the points leader. Richie's right in the mix, and Coletta Motorsports is riding high.
Yeah, I talked to both Richie a little bit in the Winner's Circle, then I just happened to bump into Doug, and he and I had a little one-on-one conversation Sunday night as well. And I think it's interesting that a number of the fans, and I got a couple of notes, and there was a couple of things on Twitter that just, you know, oh, well, you know, obviously Richie's going in the tank because Doug's a point leader and Doug's never won a championship and blah, 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 blah. Apparently those people don't realize that Richie's car is Connie's car. You know, yes, he owns Coletta Motorsports, but he basically lets Rob and Troy and the guys take care of the Mac Tools car, but Richie's car is the one that he's hands-on. If you're going looking for Connie Saturday or Sunday in the pits, he's in Richie's trailer because that's his car. And he ain't going up there and laying down against anybody, even if it is a car that he owns in the other lane with his nephew in it. He's going up there because he wants to win. And in the grand scheme of things, it's a great day for Coletta Motorsports. Doug takes a point lead. Richie takes a big step from the number nine spot where he started. And Conrad is over-the-top happy. There's zero downside to that for that if you're Coletta Motorsports, unless you happen to be one of the crew guys and you got stuck on the bottom of that pile, because there's a couple of guys walking around with bruises today, I'm sure.
My father, every time he comes to pick me up at the airport, he always says, he goes, those guys are going to get hurt someday. Someone's going to get a broken rib. And I was like, Dad, but they're celebrating. He goes, he's watching on NHRA.TV. The way they come flying in there and just dogpiling on top of each other, someday you watch, it's going to come at a critical time. Someone's going to get hurt. It's going to be a bad thing. But they do know how to celebrate.
You know, they're having a good time with it. And it's funny, Richie, I asked him about it in the Winner's Circle. You know, we've talked about before, the only safe place to be when that happens is to be the guy driving a race car. And he kind of laughed and he said, yeah, he said, you'll notice when one of my teammates is in the final, he said, I'm up on the start line. I'm there. I want to support him. And if they win, he said, I'm headed the other way because that's a bunch of linebacker sized guys. And I ain't one of them. I'm getting out of there. So, it's a pretty, you know, good natured, well founded celebration for the Colettas. And you certainly deserve it when you put both your top fuel cars in the final round.
So certainly, multiple storylines opening up with Top Fuel after one race, and this is why we do it this way. Very interesting. Brittany looking strong. Grubnick has been saying all along that he has been working on stuff for this, and he just showed us that they've got a pretty good handle on it. Unfortunate about that fuel leak, but it is what it is. Funny car, John Force, another final round. Beckman wins the race, a rematch of the U.S. Nationals final. Beckman takes over the points lead, Force 19 points back, Robert 24 points back. But like you have been saying, John Force is for real in this playoff.
He absolutely is. The scoreboard showed it as a whole shot, but the reality is Jack chunked her in a little bit there in the final round. He doesn't normally do that. Certainly he doesn't do it in the early rounds because lane choice is such an important thing. but everybody knows that Force is going to take a little on the starting line, so why wouldn't you? You know, there's no lane choice in a winner's circle, and if you can put yourself 2 or 3 inches closer, why wouldn't you? But, you know, Jack's car's been running really good. There have been a lot of people pointing to the fact that, well, he hadn't won a race all year, and, you know, both of his 20 car teammates have won multiple times. Yeah, but Redding was his seventh final round, and, you know, you put me in the final round every week, I'm going to win the championship as long as somebody doesn't do a Steve Torrance 2018 routine on me. But he's had a good car. They've had a very consistent car. You know, the last final rounds, I think he's for real in the countdown. And I said it a couple months ago. I said it after the Seattle win, and I'm going to stick to my guns. I think John Force has enough confidence now in Brian Corradi that that's a scary combination. You know, the fact that they rolled a new car out of the racetrack or out of the trailer Saturday between Q3 and 4 and came out and promptly ran a 388 and then ran that thing right into the final round, I think that says volumes for the team as well. That, you know, they're clicking right now. You know, you don't count Robert out, but I think that, I think John right now is probably, in my mind anyway, I think John right now is the favorite to win the championship.
Wow. That would be, unbelievable. I'm still calling it wide open, and, there are going to be some interesting, you know, teams factoring in. I know Robert and Jimmy are going to come back, and, I think Caps is going to factor in, and, you know, the Yellow Fella is going to factor in. It's just going to be crazy. Speaking of Ron Caps, the 339, number one qualifier, but the 339, I want your perspective on the, you know, some people, it took a lot of convincing that it was a legit number, and ultimately it came down as a legit number, but just 339 really shocked a lot of people.
Well, you know, it's just kind of the magic of the moment. And for, you know, whatever reason brings those things together, you know, when Robert had run that fast and when Hagen had been in that neighborhood, it's a matter of conditions being right. It's a matter of maybe the car spinning the tire just that much less in the top end. It's a matter of maybe having a set of Goodyear tires that are a quarter of an inch bigger or a half an inch bigger that gives you a little more mile an hour with the ET. But, you know, that car's been running good. He certainly had, you know, Ron was the number one qualifier, track record ET, and you know, anytime a run like a number like that comes up on the board, it's going to be verified, whether it's Ron, whether it's Robert, whether it's, you know, Matt, whether it's whoever. Somebody's going to go look. They're going to want to check the computer data and look at everything and just verify. But I firmly believe it's legitimate, and, you know, I think they just hit on it just perfect in at one of those magical moments, and good for them. You know, they've somebody's going to run 340 here probably before too long, and then we'll see what happens. But, you know, but good for them. It was a heck of a run. And there were a lot of big speeds all weekend long.
And I just want to point out, and I know that I might be at odds with, you know, some people about this, but the buzz and excitement that is generated by those numbers, can't argue with that. Like, I flip on my social media, and I start looking down the Facebook, and everybody just posting pictures of scoreboards, right? Whether it be the 362 or the 339, like people are blown away by those numbers, and it makes me think about the era of the swept-back headers and how it just captivated the fans of the sport for a while. Like, the entertainment value was through the roof. People love that stuff, and we got a little taste of it this weekend.
Yep, and, you know, it's going to happen from time to time. When the conditions are there, you know, you're certainly not going to see anybody run 339 miles an hour if we're in Denver or if we're in Norwalk or if we're someplace in the middle of the summer and the track temperature is 135. And, you know, everything's got to come together. You've got to have the right racetrack. You've got to have the right conditions. And you've just got to hit it just right on that magical moment for something like that to happen. So it's pretty cool when it does happen. You know, if it got to the point where it's happening every week, it'd be a whole lot less cool. And I think that's part of the cool factor now is, you know, two times a year or three times a year, we have one of those holy smokes runs that just gets everybody's attention.
Maple Grove, baby, Maple Grove. So Beckman leads by 19 over Force, 24 over Height, 43 over Caps, 74 over Tommy Johnson Jr. Got bounced first round, but he, you know, that's his mulligan, as you have said. And, you know, Langdon bringing up the rear in 10th, 136 back. So still a lot of story left to write. Five races headed to St. Louis. Pro Stock, Jason Lyne. And the car that Jason Lyne had in Brainerd, he had it again this past weekend. Went to the final round against Fernando Quadra, who is not in the countdown. Was definitely the Cinderella story of the weekend. Beats, you know, gets wins over Erica and Jag in the same race. And Fernando is like a wonderful person. Like, everybody likes him. And to see him go to the final round against Jason, Jason, of course, got the win in the final. But that was a good day at the racetrack.
It was, and Fernando almost stole that thing in the final. You know, he had a superior reaction time. I think he left on Jason by about three, and Jason outran him. Whatever it was, Martin, I think, was 8,000s or 9,000s. But, you know, Fernando certainly gave himself a legitimate chance in the final, had a good car, and got some good fortune. And, you know, sometimes it's still classic. You know, when it's your day, it's your day. Erica's car looked like it spun through second and third gear, and that cost her a little ET. Jake goes red by 2,000. You know, when's the last time he did that? But, you know, sometimes things just fall your way. I thought it was interesting, though, when Jamie Howe talked to Jason at the top end, and I'm not sure on the starting line, you were at the finish line, but I'm not sure if you had an opportunity to hear that or not. But basically, she said, what did you find in the car that made it so good this weekend? He said, it wasn't this weekend. He said, it was 3 weeks ago. He said, we've got the best race car now we've had all year. And early in the year, I mean, you look at him, look at where he was qualifying, look at what he was doing on Sunday, and he was okay. And right now, if he's not spectacular, he's not missing spectacular by much, but he's a whole lot better than okay. And now's a pretty good time to do that.
And we're going to speak with him this week, and I'm going to ask him that question and see what he has to say. But able to dial in a 008 reaction time against Bo, take down Bo, got by Matt Hartford, and then beat Fernando Cuadra in the final round. So Jason Lyon looking really strong, taking over the points lead by 39 over Bo, 55 over Alex Laughlin, 78 over Erica. They've got to be thinking about the one that got away, though. I mean, Erica, we've been talking about how she's, mad and mean and running on mean and definitely focused and intent. Number one qualifier. And just, it just goes to show you that you can have all the want and desire and everything. And the competition is so tough that they can jump up and bite you.
Well, they just missed it. I don't think there's any question that they missed the setup a little bit going into that round. And like I said, her car, you know, looked good off the starting line, but it definitely slowed down through second and third. And that's when Fernando was able to take advantage of that. But I also think that Jake Coughlin is a whole lot bigger threat now than he was 2 weeks ago. They put him in a different car. And whether it is legitimately the car or whether it was just a mental thing, you know, if you get into the, I can't win in this car. Sometimes just changing cars changes your mental outlook. But that was a whole new Jake Coughlin that was out there this weekend, you know, like we haven't seen for the last four or five, six races anyway. So, you know, that red light is certainly not going to bother him. Jake is a guy that we've seen over the years, whether he's bracket racing, whether he's pro stock racing, or whether he's doing both at the same time. You know, he's able to shake off a bad shot and just get his head right back in the game. So I think Jake is a much bigger contender right now than I would have given him credit for even leaving Indy. And I think that new car has done a lot for his confidence and maybe even for his performance.
We shall see, and that's why everybody must watch all the countdown races to see which way it's going to go. Pro Stock Motorcycle, kind of a similar situation to what we see in Top Fuel, where Andrew Hines, the dominator of the regular season, gets defeated in second round by Jerry Savoie. Jerry goes on, wins back-to-back races, first time in his career, wins Indy, wins Maple Grove, and is looking pretty good in these hot weather races. Jerry says flat out that he thinks the Suzukis are better in the heat. The V-twins are better in the cooler conditions. So when we get down to Vegas and Pomona, who knows? But very interesting to see the Alligator Man able to step up. And, you know, we always, I'm not wearing a hat, but if I was wearing one, I would tip it to Steve Johnson, because that was really strong performance by Steve after taking the Western swing off and we missing him. And, he showed up, and it was obviously the right move. Freshening his stuff, doing what he had to do, goes to the final, and an 80 in the final. Very impressive.
Yeah, Steve ran good. You know, he qualified solid in the top half of the field and looked good on Sunday. He certainly earned everything that he got there. Jerry, you know, they found something. And Jerry said the same thing to me in the winner's circle that you just mentioned, and I know that you spoke to him both post-race and in the media center about the Suzukis he thinks are better when it's hot. Well, it wasn't exactly, 150-degree summertime hot. Yes, Sunday was warmer than Friday and Saturday, but earlier in the year when it was hot, that bike didn't have the kind of performance that it seems to have now. So Tim Kalungian, there's no doubt in my mind, found something, and he's certainly not going to share it with anybody, but they've got a really, really good motorcycle out there. I think you got to give credit to Angel for another one, number one qualifier. When she wins, I think look out for her, because how many times have we talked about mentally, right? I need to, you know, I'm sure we can do it, but I need to prove we can do it. And then that'll kind of, you know, push you past the edge. But I think she's certainly got more confidence in her motorcycle now. She's riding better. She came out on the short end of a really close race in round two. But, you know, tip of the cap to Jerry. He had the best bike on Sunday again, and he just went out there and ruined the field.
And has the points lead now by 6 over Andrew Hines, which, you know, call it a pick'em right there. Matt Smith is 3rd. Eddie is 4th. Karen is 5th. Karen has a quick and fast bike as well. Angel, 83 back. Hector Jr., 49 back. So Pro Stock Motorcycle looking good once again. The story is just beginning. We'll hear from Jerry on WFO this week. A great race all around. Just all kinds of interesting storylines, interesting things happening. Do you have any other takeaways from Maple Grove?
Well, I think a couple. You know, Sean Bellemare winning again in Alcohol Funny Car. That's his 3rd consecutive, and I do believe that puts him in the driver's seat for the point lead. It was great to see Chris Marshall making the trek all the way out there, being on tour now after he was literally thinking about just kind of hanging it up. He had a decent run, but just got mowed down by the champ in the final round there. You know, Troy Coughlin bouncing back after his red light by 3 thou in Indy to win Redding, which puts him right back in the thick of the points chase again. That one's a long way from over. You know, the 3 females qualifying number 1, which had never happened before in NHRA, when Angel and Erica and Brittany all had number 1 spots in the pros. And so that was another little piece of history, but it was a good race. It was entertaining. You know, Mother Nature bothered us a couple of times, but the temperatures were very comfortable for the fans, and they came out in droves as they always do at Maple Grove. So fun weekend, and looking forward to the next one.
Yeah, Chris Piston, Comp Eliminator, Herbie Null, Superstock, Joe Santangelo, and that amazing wheel-standing stalker of Anthony Bertozzi, Kyle Bigley, Ed Alessi, Brandon Wenzel, and Robert Smith, the Super 64, which is what a cool program. You know, Maple Grove, a lot of people talking about the Grove. And I don't want to say anything because, you know, the it's for sale, and there's some rumors about that I'm just going to let it, you know, will there be an announcement? Who's maybe going to buy it? Let's not go there, but let's just talk about the people that go there now, like what that they have created with that track, the atmosphere for drag racing. Some of the most passionate, nicest drag racing fans in the world go to the Grove.
You're right. You know, they're great fans, and they're very hardcore up in that part of the country. It's really, to this day, still, and we didn't have to deal with so much this year, but to this day, it's still the only racetrack I've ever been to where I've been sitting in the tower, and it's been literally pouring down rain, and the fans are still lined up coming in. You know, they understand that you're going to have to deal with a little dampness here and there, and they're hardcore enough to put up with it, to come out and see the kind of performances that we saw, and to see, you know, their NHRA heroes the one time a year we get to town. So, you know, I don't know what's going to happen with the racetrack either. It's certainly no secret that it's up for sale. You know, everything I've heard is that a couple of guys have, you know, taken a look at it, but I haven't heard any, you know, serious talks that are taking place. But it's not like they call me and let me know when that happens. So, you know, hopefully the new ownership sees what they've got there and potentially even reinvest. You know, let's do some upgrades, do some stuff, and, you know, some fan upgrades would be great. And give them a place to go hide when it starts raining and things like that. So we'll just have to wait and see. But it's been a staple on the NHRA Tour for a long time, and there's been so much history made there. Just look forward to going back year after year.
Fantastic weekend. And, of course, Alan, this weekend you'll be home. Your feet will be up. You'll be mourning the loss of your bag, relaxing at home, right?
Funny guy. No, I'm going to Columbus. I'll be out at National Trail Raceway and the Sports Nationals, the Jigs. Sports Nationals that are taking place up there this weekend. So headed out in a couple of days. I'm going to get my new suitcase trial run and then decide if I'm going to keep it or send it back. So it's not going to be tough to take the place of my old war wagon, but I've got to find something. So unless somebody in Indy has one and wants to call me, you know, Alan at AlanReinhart.com. You can find me there, or announcer at NHRA.com is good. I'd love to replace the war wagon, but I think I may have found one that's at least comparable. We'll see.
All right. Well, this is a story we'll have to track over the next couple of weeks and months on WFO. Click subscribe so we can find out what happens with Alan Reinhart's bag. Alan, great job as usual. Have fun up there in Columbus. And, of course, we'll see you in a couple of weeks out there in St. Louis as the Mellow Yellow Countdown resumes. Thank you.
All right, Joe. Travel safe. I'll see you soon.
There he goes, the voice of the NHRA, Alan Reinhart, joins us each week right here on WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro. Subscribe and never miss a show. Follow on Twitter and Facebook and all that stuff. Or download the WFO Radio mobile app, one or the other. It'll work out for you. And I agree with Alan. I'm just so captivated and interested by the story of the Capco team. What is going to happen? Are they going to rise to the occasion and go out there and win the championship and take their rightful place as the dynasty in the sport of drag racing? Or will they be knocked off and Doug Coletta get his first championship? Or who knows? You know, we don't know. That's why we got to watch. But the plot thickens. It will be very interesting. Caps at 339 was mega. A lot of people were like, I don't know, 339. And I disagree. I knew it was like from the word go. Acceptance. That's what happens when you get it all right. Pro Stock, Jason Line. Fast Jack Beckman going to be on. Talk about running Jack John Force in back-to-back final rounds. And Jack, seven final rounds this year. Amazing. And it's all because of our sponsors. Total Seal Piston Rings, Magic Dry US, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School at frankhawley.com, Rodax Coffee and Grills.com, Hankstifer's Metalworking Lubricants, and samtech.edu. Don't forget, hussyperformance.net, Drag Racing Edge, and EV3 Drag Racing. Really appreciate you guys. Click subscribe, write a review, WFO, right through the NHRA countdown and beyond as we'll go right through the off season. Never miss a show. Thanks, guys. WFO, more coming. Be ready.
WFO!
The views and opinions of the hosts, guests, or callers do not necessarily reflect that of the station ownership, advertisers, or agencies.
I love WFO radio.
Oh, yeah.
Attention, adrenaline junkies. Frank Hawley's Dragster Adventure is calling you. Rides available for the 2020 season. Go to frankhawley.com. They're coming to a track near you. It makes a great gift, and you know the holidays are coming, whether it be licensing for Super Comp, Super Gas, all the way up to Top Alcohol. They can do it. But if you're a drag racing fan, and you've always imagined what it might be like to drive a dragster to accelerate 0 to 60 in 3 seconds and run 10s in the quarter mile, give them a call. 866-480-7223, frankhawley.com, the Dragster Adventure, and tell them you heard it on WFO. You're working in the shop, you've got spills, you've spilled oil, it's everywhere. What are you going to do? I know what you're going to do, but that's not the best way to do it. The best way to do it is to go to MagicDryUS.com and order the official organic absorbent of the National Hot Rod Association, Magic Dry. It's lighter, it absorbs more, it's better for the environment. It's made out of coconut. It's made in America. MagicDryUS.com. They've got spill kits that include everything you need for a regular, normal household spill, all the way up to a large industrial spill. We always say, if you've got a cat, get CatSpot. If you've got a shop, if you've got a factory, if you've got a spill, call Magic Dry. That's MagicDryUS.com. Hey, engine builders. Total Seal Piston Rings are the leader in ring seal technology, and they go out of their way to help their customers and will make custom sets for any specific piston you might have. Customer service, top-notch. Made in America? Absolutely. They're located in Phoenix, Arizona, and they've got everything it takes to develop the world's best piston rings. Give them a call at 800-874-2753 or go to totalseal.com.
Subscribe to WFO Radio on iTunes. Never miss a show. And don't forget to write a review. WFO.
This is WFO Radio.